Good to see y'all today. If you were not here last week, we covered the whole chapter of Malachi 1 for our life group study. And this week we're starting in chapter 2, and it will be two sessions. We can't do everything in chapter 2 and in one session. But make sure you pick up your study and at least read through it. If you have any questions, you can talk about them at your life group. Or if you have any questions that I can help you with afterwards, we'll be glad to do it. All right, do we have that? Ministers and priests. We're going to take just a couple of minutes to deal with that issue of priest, because it is it's what Malachi talks about, but he's living in a different time frame than we're living in, and some things had changed. So mainly when we look at it, we're going to use the word minister, and that is anyone who is a Christian. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a missionary, because as we're going to see, we are all part of the priesthood in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Peter says. That's exactly what Hebrews says. So whenever we see that, you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. If you are a believer, it applies to you. So you say, well, I don't really understand how this thing is going to apply to me. It is. I promise you. You know, a long time, and still, and they should, some preachers get a bad rap, you know. Why? Because we are often guilty of some of the stuff that Malachi says the priests were guilty of then. And some of it's deserved, some of it is not. I remember a lot of my years in farming, we went through this little town, and we passed a couple of churches in this little town. I mean a small town. But the problem was, in 10 years of driving past it, they had 7 pastors in that church in 10 years. That's a bad ratio, in case you don't know it. You know? Ain't that right? You say, well, how you know? Well, I knew some of the people, but you could see the name change out the highway, you know? Whose problem was it? Was it the preacher or the people? I don't know. I don't know which one it was. I know some of the people. It could be them. I didn't know the preachers. It could be them. I don't know. One association leader had a church that they were like that church I'm talking about. I won't call the name of it because somebody there might be listening. You know, in this world, this time, day and time, and I'm not condemning them. It's just a fact, you know. And they couldn't keep a pastor at this church. I mean, it was like they liable to have 10 in 10 years. They couldn't keep one. But the last pastor they had gotten, he'd been there 3 years. So the associational missionary was talking to one of the leaders of the church. He said, what'd y'all do? You know, this is a record for y'all. Y'all had a pastor 3 years. My goodness, y'all hadn't had one 3 years in 20 years. He said, what'd you do? And the guy was honest. He said, well, I'll just be honest with you. We don't even want a preacher. We don't need a preacher. We can run the church ourselves. We don't need one. And he said, he's about the nearest thing to nothing we ever had. So we're going to keep him. It's a bad deal. Because everybody and their brother knows what the preacher should be or what he shouldn't be. Ain't that right? Hello? I know. I've been around 25 years. I know how that works. And we're going to see exactly what the preachers were doing, the priests were doing. But remember, every time I say minister or priest, that's you if you're a believer. Okay? And I don't know what your background is. We're going to just do a quick little take on the priests of the Old Testament and why that we don't have them now. Okay? I'm not a priest. When I was in Mexico, some of the people down there who had a lot of different background from other denominations, they called me a priest. And I said, well, I ain't no priest. That ain't the way that works here, okay? Anyway, that's not what we are. All of us who are believers is who he's talking about, ministers. That's what it says. Malachi focused directly, you'll see in this paragraph, he's not just really talking about anything other about the priest than their responsibility as an example and as a teacher. Because he's already told them last week in chapter 1 how they were falling down on a job at watching them sacrifices and managing that the way they should. He's really talking about their role as a teacher. That's what he's talking about. So to us, he's talking about anybody. If you teach kids, if you lead a small group, if you're having a family devotion in your house, doesn't really matter. That's what you are. So he's talking to us, all of us. He says, and now, O priest, this command is for you. And here's what we want to start with. Is priest obsolete today? Do we really need it? We don't really need it as the Old Testament has it. We don't really need it as Malachi had in the day he was talking about it. Who are the priests today? Or are there really any really bona fide priests according to the Scripture? And we're going to see, no, they're not. The New Testament never uses the word priest. When you see in Timothy and all those guidelines, it says presbyteros, presbytery, which is a leader, an elder. They swap the word around a lot. You never see the word for priest in there. Why? It's just not a concept in the New Testament. After Jesus became our high priest, there are no more priests. And, you know, we just need to understand that. There is no official priesthood in the New Testament. You don't see it. When we went through the book of Acts, which is the history of the new church, where did we ever see priests in there? No, you didn't. It wasn't there. The reason for this is clear. Jesus himself became our permanent high priest. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 7. It says what? He offered himself as a sacrifice. And when he had offered himself as a sacrifice, he sat down on the right hand of the Father. You know, the priest's duty in the Old Testament was, you remember, there was no chairs in there. They were always changing this or doing this or doing this or offering a sacrifice. There was no sitting down. So when Jesus says he sat down on the right hand of the Father, he means it's over. There's no more role for priests anymore. So we don't have it in the New Testament. He is now one and the only priest between us and God. We don't have to go between anybody else. The reason for this is that his sacrifice was final. No more sacrifice. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be. The priest in the Old Testament died. You know, whenever one died, another one in the Levite family would take that role. And now Jesus says, you know, there's nobody to replace me. Number one, I'm never going to die. I'm always going to be the one to intercede for you. I'm the one. When Christ appeared as a high priest, he entered once into the Holy of Holies. That's where the priest would offer the sacrifice once a year for the nation of Israel and for himself. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Securing for us an eternal redemption. Go back and read Hebrews. So the Old Testament priesthood is replaced once and for all by Jesus. So you say, you mean to tell me that same concept is not in the New Testament? You can't find it. And when you do find it in different denominations, it's not a biblical thing. I mean, there's just no mandate for it. That's coming from somewhere else. You say, well, I don't agree. I don't care. I mean, that's just, go look at the facts. I mean, it's just not in there. The offering of himself as the final sacrifice and is interceding for us. We don't need anybody else. You know, we don't. There is no official priesthood. Feeling the need for a priest creates a theological problem. What does that mean? What did the priest do? They brought the sacrifices. They interceded for the people on the behalf because of God had prescribed it. So now when there's a final sacrifice, we don't need priests anymore. Why? Because Jesus is the one. So whenever you see it in Roman Catholics, it doesn't matter. Whatever groups there are that still has a priest, there's a theological problem there that you have a problem with how to defend that. All right? It minimizes, if you say we need a priest today, it minimizes the fact and you say, wait a minute, Jesus didn't once and for all offer a sacrifice for us, so we still need to do it. So you have a theological problem. Was Jesus right or the people that say we need a priest right? You see the problem we have? Whenever you find a day and an emphasis on the priesthood of the clergy, there you also find the minimizing of the once and for all sacrifice for Christ. Logistically, that's where you are. Logically, that's what's going on. What are you still doing that for, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church? And someone who has some inside told me, I have a older friend that's a Roman Catholic still in North Carolina, and I used to talk to him all the time, and we disagreed, and we still got along. You know, you don't have to agree with somebody to be able to talk to them. You know that? Nowadays, it's like if you don't agree with me, I can't even have a conversation with you. Isn't that the way it is now, unfortunately? In the secular world? Just depending on some of the regions where someone says, no, absolutely, Mass is still a sacrifice, or no, not exactly. You know, I know in Baptist circles, there might be some people who might have a little bit different theological take on a few things, but by and large, there's some of the main underlying doctrines are always going to be there if they're going to be Baptists, per se, if they call their name that, all right? It's important because is the Mass a real sacrifice or not? And if you're going to have the Mass as a sacrifice, you've got to have a priest to officiate it. So you're doing away with that concept that Jesus was the once and all sacrifice. See how that works? There's a problem. So who's right? The Scripture doesn't say. It says Jesus finished it, and that was it. This repeated sacrifice in the church necessitated a priest to do that. I mean, logically, that's what you got to have, right? Just like the Old Testament had for the animal sacrifices. So there is a problem. In this understanding, both the mass and the clerical priesthood minimize and even distort that doctrinal truth that Jesus once and for all paid the sacrifice for us, and it no longer has to be done. Well, you say, we don't believe that, but we go through the motion. Just make sure you understand that. You know, make sure you're not depending on some wine and a cracker in a ceremony to take away your sin. You know, that's what you have to figure that one. You got to figure that one out. But when you're following that, you got to be careful, because what you're saying is, wait a minute, Jesus didn't do it all. We got to keep doing it ourselves. So that's a serious theological problem. All right? Just for a thought, okay? Because why? We're talking about Old Testament priests. The whole church is a holy priesthood. Isn't that what Peter says? Peter calls the whole church a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. You know, it's kind of funny. Peter's supposed to be the first pope, right? Ain't that right? Again, you got to validate that. Anyway, even Peter says, wait a minute, we are all priests. Why? Because what Jesus did. John says, Christ made the whole church a kingdom of priests to God the Father in Revelation chapter 1. It means that Christ has opened the way. You and I go straight to God through our high priest, which is Jesus. You don't go through me. You don't go through anybody else. You go through Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's the interceder, the mediator, our lawyer, so we can get to God straight through him. That's what that means. We do not need any human mediator. We can walk with Christ, our high priest, right into the holy of holies where God is and where God dwells, and find the grace to help us in the time of need. That's it. That's a big deal. You got to deal with that one because the concept in the Old Testament is not what we're living out in the New Testament. You know, actually, if you just want to be looking at the logistics of it, where is the rabbi high priest now, and what are they doing for Israel? There is none. So what are they doing? How are they sacrificing? How are they getting forgiveness for their sins? They don't believe in the Messiah. I ask them sometimes. I can't get an answer out of anybody. I guess you're kind of just freeloading on God's grace, right? Because if you really believe that, that's what you need to be doing if you're going to be forgiven, eh? Isn't that logistically correct? It would be. The curse of priestly failure. It says, and now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen. Wow, how about that? God says, I've already spoken to you. I told Levi, and Levi set up the whole thing for you guys. If you will not listen, if you will not lay to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed you. You're already cursed. You know, like it says in John, people says, you know, well, I'm going to, no, it says, and you who do not believe or what are condemned already. If you're sitting here today and you say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, you're already condemned. You know, that's exactly what the same thing. He says, I've already condemned you. I've already cursed them because you do not take to heart these things. And you have it. Behold, we'll see that word five times. That's a pretty serious word in the context and how it's used. I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your face, the dung of your offerings, and I will put you out of my presence. That's a serious deal right there. Is God mad for somebody if he spreads dung, if he spreads dung on their face? Keep in mind, in the Old Testament, I'm the priest. You bring your sacrifice in here. This is a gory mess, okay? I had to kill it. I had to catch all the blood. I had to do away with all the entrails, everything. The offal actually is what the word is, O-F-F-A-L. I mean, everything else is left over. And it had to be taken outside, parts of it in the camp, and destroyed. And God is saying, the very thing that I hate that has to be taken away from me, I'm going to put on your face. So you said God's going to welcome them? No, he says, I'm done with you. That's what, this serious deal. When God says, I'm going to, the very thing that I discard is what I'm going to put on you, because he said, I'm done with you. That's a serious thing when he says that. So you shall know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi. He said, I made a covenant with Levi. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You were supposed to honor that. You were of that tribe of Levites who were the only ones that could be the priests, and you haven't done it, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. that he might fear, and he might, and he feared me, and he stood in awe of my name. Y'all didn't do any of that, he says. True instruction was in his mouth. True instruction. He didn't tell lies. He didn't tell people what they wanted to hear. We'll see that. We got to hurry there. Y'all slower than the first crowd. They really, really slow for some reason. And no wrong was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. From the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He should always tell the truth. They were not doing it. They were already showing they didn't respect God anymore. Why? Because they were abusing the sacrifices and let somebody bring in something they were not even supposed to bring because it was defiled. But you have turned aside from your way. You're not following me anymore. You're not following the covenant that I made with Levi that the priests were going to follow. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despise and abase before all the people, insomuch as you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in your instruction. Wow. Remember, now he's talking to all of us. No, he's talking to you, preacher. No, he's talking to all of us. Just remember that. The failure of the teachers of the word, whoever that is, small group, Sunday school, preacher, missionary, doesn't really matter. Anybody who is talking about God's word is supposed to be telling the truth. The duty of the priest at stake in this text is not the problem with sacrificing. They'd already messed that one up. But teaching. They were not teaching the truth of God's word. Why? They'd already thrown it aside in their own life. Because he said, you won't hear from me. You're not listening to me. If you're not listening to God, how are you going to tell the truth of God? Right? The lips of a priest should guard knowledge. What is that? That's why the text is so relevant for today. Has there ever been a worse time? Haven't been in my life when everyone questions God's word. People who are supposed to know better. Oh, well, that used to be true 20 years ago, but it's not true anymore. Well, George Washington used to be the president of our first president, but he's not anymore. What happened? Who took him off the report card? Somebody is, right? See how that changes? Same thing. That's what he's talking about. Why is it relevant? Because we're so acceptable to get our own opinion and not follow God's word. And it's in epidemic proportions in our own convention. I say convention, I mean Baptist. You know, it's crazy everywhere, but they're just as bad. It rebukes and exhorts those who are appointed to be the ministers of the word for the people of God, regardless of who you are, whoever you're trying to lead, your family. You say, well, I don't lead anybody. If you're a dad, you should be leading your family, so it should apply to you the same way. The ministers of the word can fail or they can succeed. That's what the text is about. And they're failing. He points out five failures of the priest, pastors, ministers, all of us who try to lift God's word up. Failures of it. God was mad. Oh, God loves everybody. He doesn't get mad. When you start putting dung on somebody's face, somebody is not happy. Right? Especially when God says, get it out of my presence. Immediately the priest had to take that part and get it out of the presence, and somebody had to be burned outside of the camp. So God is not happy when he said, man, this is what I'm going to do to you. He's basically saying, I'm done with you. I have no use for you anymore. And there's nothing more terrible can be conceived than to have the beauty of the holiness turned against you with, you know, you're supposed to be serving God, and now he's turning against you. Why? Because you've sold out. Number one, failure to hear God's word. Well, God's word used to be true when it said there was a male and a female, but it's not true anymore. Wait a minute. Now, you're meddling. No, I'm just telling you, this is where we are. It used to be true. Why is it not now? Who changed it? Who changed it? Man. Man did. God still says what? I made male and female. That's what he said. Failure, if you can't hear God's word, how are you going to pass it on to somebody else? If you will not listen, he said, you're not listening. I've given you all you need. You're not listening. Failure to have a great heart, a big heart for God's glory. Why do you want to do this anyway? So God will be glorified. That's what he said. If you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name. Why? Because when they were defiling the temple by letting these defiled animals come in it, he says, you've just taken away my glory. What he says is, you don't see me as any all God anymore, and you respect me anymore. You've just decided on your own. It really doesn't matter anymore. We just do whatever we want to do. Because people like us better anyway if they can bring us their coals. You know, you're supposed to bring your USDA number one. If I say, oh, you can bring a number three or number four, you know, they bring a lot less money than the number ones. If I say, oh, just go ahead and take the number one to the market and bring us that three or four, we'll work it in. That's what they were doing. And God said, you're not glorying my name. You're bringing shame. They turned aside from the ways of God. That means their lifestyle. The failure of the teacher is that they turned aside. They didn't do what God said anymore. He said, Levi did it. You don't do it. Their own lives fell short. If the president can lie and get away with it, why do we think we can't? Huh? You know, if the preacher says it's okay to be drunk every weekend, then why do the people think they don't need to do it? See how that works? We'll come to it in just a minute. Oh, they're held responsible. Seriously. Why? Because of the influence they have on everybody. Showing partiality in the teaching. Now, Otis, I know, you know, if I let you bring these coals, you're going to take that one down there and you're going to bring a lot of money and you're going to give me 10% of it, so I'm going to let you do it. Remember what Jesus said about that? Wait a minute, you're going to save this front row over here for the people that give the most money who is high respectful? Jesus said, absolutely not. Same thing. How many times do people not preach against sin if Otis is there because they know Otis gives a lot of money and they surely don't want to offend Otis? Isn't that right? That's exactly what this is. The fourth failure is that the teacher showed partiality in their teaching. Well, I'm not going to talk about sin, that sin, because that's his sin. I'm not going to talk about that while he's here. I'll wait to one Sunday whenever he's not here, and then I'll talk about his sin because he's not here. How many overweight preachers have you ever heard talk about obesity? Hello? Come on. Doesn't happen, does it? You get the point. It means that the priests were treating the word of God the same way they were treating their sacrifices. You give God the sacrifices that you give it. You treat the people who give more money to the church different than you treat everybody else. No. Same thing. I don't care how much money you get. You don't get a parking spot. I don't get a parking spot. You don't get a parking spot. Nobody gets a parking spot. Causing many to stumble. You have caused many to stumble. How in the world is that? Are the sins of teachers and leaders more grievous than that of others? Absolutely. Well, what do you mean? They are. Why? Because the sin in and of itself might not be worse, but because it's compounded when you tell somebody, oh, it's okay. You go ahead, and then that generation, and then the next generation, and you get where we are right now today. Because 30 years ago, preachers quit preaching against sin. Go back and listen to some of those old preachers. They didn't just preach against sin. They called it by the first name. Oh, we can't do that now. They'll be offended and they can't come back. They won't come back if we talk about that. That's the problem. Look at it. That's exactly what the problem is. The weight of the public responsibility. When it's okayed by some leadership, you know that's what happens, right? You get mad at me over something, and what you'll do is sometimes you'll go over there and find Otis over there, and he's got a PhD, or he's got something. He says, well, this sin's okay, so you'll go gravitate over there toward him because he says your sin that you know is wrong is okay. Isn't that right? That's kind of what's going on there. You know, find somebody who agrees with you because you ain't going to plan on changing your life. And if you're not going to change your life, you sure can't face it every day or every week around somebody who's going to challenge you, so you got to do something different. The threats against them. God's not going to spare them. That's why, man, it's serious. And, you know, this story is old, but I have to tell it again. I hated school, okay? Any child in here that doesn't like school, I got you. I know. We can miss 29 days without failing, and I always miss 29 days. I'm talking about from the fifth grade up till I graduated. Why? Because I hated it. You think when I got out of school I was going back? No. Until God showed me. He said, well, wait a minute. You say you're going to be a speaker for me? You better know all you can know because I'm going to hold you accountable for everything you say. Ooh, I said, okay. That changes things. So, that's exactly what that's about. We are held accountable. I know some guys, God's going to, if they're even saved, boy, they're going to get a spanking for it. This thing's over. Because they are lying about God's word. That's tough. They're going to be in trouble. He said, oh, he's not going to spare the priest and he's not going to spare anybody else who intentionally misleads somebody. James says, not many of you become teachers, for you know that whoever teaches shall be judged with a greater sin. Is it a greater sin for them? James says it is. Yeah. You just need to try to do everything you can and know what you're talking about. You know, don't be one of these, well, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to let God give me my message on the way to church this morning. And that's all I'm going to have. Then you're not going to have anything because you're not that good. Right? I know people like that. That's what they say. Oh, well, you know, we don't believe in going to school to learn anything about the Bible. God's just going to give us that message. So when he's going to give me my message on the way to church this morning. Really? Even Jesus studied the scripture. Even Jesus memorized the Old Testament, right? If you will not listen, you will not lay to the heart of, if you're not going to listen to God, why are you going to glorify him? He says, you're not. Then I will send a curse upon you, and I'm already going to send a curse upon you. And look what he says, God will curse them. He'll turn their words into not a blessing, but a curse. It becomes a plague to the people. And that's what we've seen in this country in the last 20 years. When you find somebody, and you can find somebody that will always say, oh, yeah, that sin's okay. And what you have is generations going down the road. You know, that's why that Old Testament scripture says, you know, how he visits the father's sons on the children for generations. Because when one generation starts to live the way we live now, if it turns around, it could take four generations to turn it around. So all the people that are going to die and suffer from that during all that time, that's what he's talking about. Oh boy, it's a big deal. God will rebuke their offspring, he said, and he did. After AD 70, no priest. Still haven't had any. Why? God shut that thing down. He said, I'm done with that. We saw that last week. He'd treat them with contempt and defile them. Since they considered it, remember in chapter 1, it says what? Oh, it's a burden to go to church. It's a burden to honor God. It's a burden for all that stuff. I don't know if you remember, or you were young back then in 1912. J.J. Ross, who was a pastor at James Street Baptist Church in Hamilton, Ontario, he published a pamphlet against Charles Taz Russell, who is the founder of Jehovah's Witness. And he pretty much laid it out there. You're lying. None of you, what you're saying and promoting is truth. It's anti-biblical. It has nothing about the Word of God in it. And Russell filed a lawsuit for $100,000 against him. So it went to court. And they proved in cross-examination. You know, he said he'd been to seminary. He knew Greek and Hebrew. They cross-examined him in the courtroom, and he had only finished the seventh grade. He had never been what we call ordained. He could not recognize one word in Greek or Hebrew, so all that was a lie. And they proved him wrong and dismissed the thing. That's exactly what goes on. Just because you get a PhD doesn't mean you're going to tell the truth. Matter of fact, sometimes you educate yourself beyond your intelligence. You know more than you can even reason out. I know some friends of mine, that's exactly what's happened to them. They've gone so far, they've lost any reason at all whatsoever. It happens. He says, be careful. God will smear the dung of the many. He says, I don't even want you in my presence. Go outside. I'm done with you. That's a big deal. You know, that's a big deal. He will make them as despised and contemptible as possible among the people. All right, quickly. What is an ideal minister? What is it supposed to be? They can understand. They have a clear description of the task at hand. You know, Charles Spurgeon was right. If you can do anything else but go into ministry, go do it. You know, if you can, if God can let you off, don't do it. Whatever you can do, if you're not, if you just can't live without it, go do it. But if you can do anything else and be satisfied, don't do that. They have a clear understanding of the task at hand. And it rests on a covenant that God has called them to do that. It's not just a job. And because of that, there's a special understanding of reverence about who God is and what he's done and what his role is for Levi, for the priest. There is, revealing a special integrity that we stand under God's word and we hold it up and let it speak for itself, right? I've sent you that my covenant. He made a covenant with Levi, and it's supposed to be carrying on through all this. He said, but it's done. You knew, but boy, you're not carrying it out. They lowered the standard for the people because what? They lowered it themselves. If the preacher can lie and steal and it's okay, what about everybody else? You know, if the preacher can get drunk, why can't everybody else? If the preacher can do all this stuff that's ungodly, why can't everybody else? Isn't that right? I mean, that's the way it goes, right? Monkey see, monkey do. If you can get away with it, and you're supposed to be leading us, then I can do it. That's why it's such a damnable thing. When Levi the priest, God gave them the standard, and he said, I gave it to Levi, and he kept it. Boy, did he keep it. You remember this little story? There was a sexual orgy going on, and things had gotten out of hand, and, you know, it happened several times, and God takes that kind of thing pretty serious. And it says, and go back and read this in context of number 25. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, he's in the line, saw it, this horrible thing going on right there in the presence of the people. It's about like what you see now. Just ungodliness all over the place. He rose up from among a congregation and took a javelin in his hand. He didn't say, oh, y'all better quit. And the son of Eliezer, the son of Aaron, the priest, have turned my wrath. He killed both of them right there in front of everybody with a javelin. And look what God says. I was about to destroy all of you. But he stayed my wrath from you. He looked at him and he said, there's finally somebody still serious about this thing. Phinehas was the one. You know, it's like somebody finally stands up and said, you know, this is not true. Do that now and what happens to you? They'll crucify you. That's exactly what God's talking about. He was zealous for my sake among them that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. He said, I'd have killed them all if it hadn't been for him. How many is going to die because we want to water down the message and not tell somebody the truth? That's what it means. Same thing. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to them that he might fear me. Life and peace, a way of life. A sense of awe for God, they lost it. They said, oh, that's a burden. God's a burden. We don't want to have anything to do with it. They lost it. God wasn't special anymore. So they didn't see their job anymore special. Oh, it's just kind of the norm. Whatever it takes to get along with everybody. We don't want to tell them the truth. My goodness, that'd be offensive. They were to have a special integrity in word and deed. Wow. And you say, well, why do you keep harping on that? Because what happens is what happens tomorrow because nobody stands up today. The truth of God's word gets watered down and watered down and watered down and watered down. The law of the truth was in his mouth, and a justice was not found on his lips. Means he tells the truth. No? I remember a few years ago, this old guy, I say old, he was probably 75. He came in and asked me a question. He'd been coming to church here for a pretty good while. I knew him pretty well. And he asked me this question about it was a sexual question. I said, oh, absolutely, that's a sin. Well, he got mad and left. I ain't come back. I'm thinking, you're 75. You ought to know better. Number one, you think I'm going to water it down? No. You asked me the same question. I'll tell you the absolute same thing. No, that's a sin, period. No more discussion. We don't do that anymore. Well, it just depends on the context. No. When it says, thou shalt not, what does that mean? No qualifications. No. That's what that means. He tells the truth. You know, I can be wrong. I understand that. I go through a lot of pains to try to understand what God's word says. Why? Because I know God's going to hold me accountable. There's a whole tribe of lazy preachers. And like our homiletics professor said, and they need to be on a reservation somewhere. That's exactly right. I could call the name of one right now, and y'all would all know the name. I went to a training thing a few years ago. We were in the early days of planting this church, and I was just trying to pick up everything I could just to see, you know, because we were starting from scratch, and we didn't have any experience in starting a brand new church. So I signed up for this thing for just once a month. I would go meet with these other guys, and this guy gets up, and he says, you know, if you're starting a church, you don't have time to prepare your own sermons. You need to go buy them all from Rick Warren. I said, I'm done. What? Because Rick Warren, he's let a tire run off now. It's almost like it's inevitable. Just give him enough time. And they'll go out there after. I said, did I just hear him say that? Because he's got a lot of young guys. I'm the oldest one in the room, and I'm thinking, surely they know better than this, right? But no, I'm afraid they don't. Why? You find out what God's word says. You go through the problem it takes. You go through the pain it takes to study it and see what it says. I read all kind of stuff about Old Testament priesthood I didn't know before this week. Why? I need to understand what the concept was. What went on? There's a whole lot I know about it that I didn't even talk about. About why this was so important and why Malachi would talk about it. The ministry is to protect the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You say, well, that's opinion. Usually when I say it's my opinion, I'm going to say it's my opinion. But when it's pretty clear it's absolute truth, whenever God says thou shalt not lie, that means you shall not lie. You don't have to debate on that one, right? When God said he made male and female, there's really no discussion there. Anything outside of that is just sin. We don't need to talk about it, right? Hello? Ain't that right? Yeah, that's right. He's to protect it. The cults don't do that. All the cults fabricate a lie. It's all built on a lie. There's no truth in it. Never. They're responsible to teach and guide the church. Timmy talks about elders and leaders in the church. It's there. They're not priests. We're not priests. We're to lead and guide because God's going to hold us accountable. Because they would imply too much like the likeness of the Old Testament office if you try to call us priests. And we do not sacrifice anything for anybody else. That's not our job. Malachi talks about has to do with especially with the duties as the teachers and the moral examples for the people. They were not living it out. They were not doing the sacrifices right there on himself. He warns against that. It would, you know, we say, well, isn't that bad that pastor fell? That's not the worst thing in the world, that a pastor gets involved with someone in immorality. That's not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is that he doesn't tell the truth. Why? Because people hang on that more than anything else. Absolutely. The reasons to care about what ministers we have, what service, why should we, why is this even important to us today? It is important. Why? Why should we care about that? Number one, I'm going to die. And leaders in our fellowship is going to die. And if you don't know what the next leader is supposed to be, what they're supposed to understand, then what are you going to get? When we left North Carolina, we'd been over there 5 years. We went through the fire a few times with a few people, and they were wrong. And they came back a year later and apologized. And after that, the church doubled in size in about 2 years. It was booming. We left and went to a church that had been dying for 15 years. Hello? Somebody asked me that was moved back to that area that I went to seminary with. He said, God must have called you to that church. I said, yeah, he did, or I wouldn't have left, number one. The church we left in North Carolina stayed full blast one whole year. Nothing went down. Everybody, they knew what to do. And a year later, they got a pastor in there, and he destroyed it in 1 year. Why? Not the right guy. Not the right guy. What's the guideline you're going to have if you don't know what it is, right? A lot of people don't have a clue what a pastor's supposed to be, or a leader's supposed to be. What are they supposed to be doing? You should be praying daily for the leadership of our church, that we won't let a tire run off, because they're running off left and right. Professors in seminaries, they're going AWOL. Pastors, oh, my goodness, all over the place. You should hold your pastor accountable to fulfill the biblical vision. Am I doing what the Bible says? Here's the other question. Did you say that or did the Bible say that? You know, because everybody and their brothers got an idea what the preacher's supposed to be doing and not doing, right? Okay, what's the validation of that? Where are you getting it from? You have to keep that in mind. But you can't hold leadership accountable if you don't know what they're supposed to be doing. It's a great encouragement to people in leadership, regardless of who it is. When people that share the same vision encourage them and help them, that's what it's supposed to be. And here's the biggest problem in the whole thing, the danger of doctrinal defection. You know why we're in the mess we're in America right now? Because preachers quit preaching about 100 years ago. Now, that's the problem. They used to preach against sin and call it by its first name. Now you're starting doing that. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Why not? It's true, ain't it? Well, you got to be more diplomatic. I know. I have two of those touchy-feely people in my life. Meredith and Debbie. You can't say that. Yes, I can say that. I had a right. I can say what I want to say. No, you can't say that. Yes, I can. I'm willing for God to judge me. Because what I'm saying is absolute truth. You are a pagan. You know, when that's the case, that's what you need to do. Right? Sexual sin is not the worst thing that could be done. It is lying about the truth and letting the next generation and then the next generation and then the next generation build on that to where now you got everybody saying, well, that's not God's word anymore. Well, it used to be. What happened to it? See the problem? That's where we get. Far more devastating is the church as a long term of doctrinal defection of thousands of pastors when they sell out. And it's in an epidemic proportion right now, all over the place. Just listen to them and you'll hear it. It's all about health and wealth and prosperity. Oh, God doesn't really care if you're a boy or a girl. Yes, He does. And He cares how you treat those other people as well. He cares how you treat your family, all that stuff. Oh, it doesn't really matter anymore. Okay, we got to go. We're done. He said, this is kind of hard. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Why do you think God was putting dung on His boy's face? He was not satisfied at all. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You have mercy. Thank You that You forgive us through the person of Jesus, that He is our priest. He is interceding for us when we sin. Father, thank You that we can go straight to Him and confess our sin, and then He goes to You specifically. Thank You that You are eternal, that once and for all, You pay the price for our sin. Father, help us to live that out in the truth we tell, in the grace we try to show, but help us always tell the truth for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.